Wait, what is this?
Welcome to episode 29
of
Dark and Creepy
Things
with
Frank
and
Scout.
Yay!
Frank and Scout.
Frank and Scout.
Not and.
Oh, just sniffled.
He's just snotted everywhere.
Not everywhere.
What's wrong with you?
I'm a human who does human things from time to time.
Oh, my lord. So it's been a while. We apologise.
Life has gotten in the way. We have been moving house. Derby for 2 weekends in a row.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Derby takes up a good portion of our time. Well, my time.
Roller derby for
roller
those. Is it demolition derby? Horse racing? No, it's roller derby with roller skates.
Where people on roller skates hit each other.
They don't. It's not about that.
Yes, it is.
No. Safely.
Safely hit each other.
And score points. Yes.
Okay, who do we need to thank?
I don't think our patrons have changed. We've still got Bitten by the Bug,
maker
of Japanese textiles, who's over in Japan at the moment.
Yes, so if you want to see what
you should
she's
follow
doing,
them.
Follow them on Instagram.
Yeah.
Follow them on Instagram, because she posts really interesting stuff about what she's seeing in Japan.
Yeah, Bitten by the Bug.
From someone who didn't know how to use a computer like 5 years ago.
True.
She is very adept at using Instagram.
She does the gram.
She does, and
yeah,
she uses
really
all the hashtags.
Yeah, really well.
Yeah, she does.
Pretty good for someone who's almost
60 next month.
Well done.
Who else would you think?
Ira Francis from the Brightside Comic. Then we've got our regular creepers. We've got Sean. We've got Maya. We've got Sindel as well.
Sindel who
has been on a few episodes and now is one of our housemates too. Because we all moved into a giant mansion.
Yeah, we did.
And it's great. And we have a cellar. We may do a cellar episode.
I love our giant mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's pretty great.
And
we would not be able to afford it and pay less rent than when we're living by ourselves if we weren't for having housemates. Yeah.
Okay. What was I going to say? Okay, I think it's my turn.
It's Frank's turn.
It's my
Frank's turn.
This one's quite dark.
So dark. Oh, you know how we forgot to Frank? Thank?
Who?
Sharon. Thanks for our probably 1-star review, Sharon.
If you go on, is it Google that she did that on?
No, I don't know. I think it was iTunes that we got a 1-star, and then on there was a Facebook post saying
a comment
on one of our Facebook posts.
Yeah.
So talking about the Kelly Lane episode.
Yeah.
And it's probably a friend of Kelly Lane or even Kelly Lane herself in jail.
It's so funny. She's like,
pretty much saying that we didn't research.
It doesn't sound like you researched this at all. And
so,
it's like, you've missed the whole fucking point.
Yeah, if you've missed the point, if you're new to Dark and Creepy Things, and on an alrighty podcast, we don't research. We don't have time for that. I'm just studying my master's and
so,
we both work too much.
Just
to research, we read each other articles.
Yeah.
This is where our podcast
started.
So just
to reiterate, I don't even read the article before I read it to Scout.
No, it's a
surprise. So both of us are like, what the fuck? So
we don't rehearse
this. We don't rehearse it. We just sit in our lounge room drinking coffee and read each other articles.
Yeah, because if this is how this started, is doing so many road trips together for roller derby, which also brought us together.
It did.
Romance, the roller derby love. We obviously go on long trips, and it started by just, you know, one of us, probably Frank, would be browsing Facebook while I was driving and come across, you know, links to Wikipedia articles and we just end up starting reading to each other.
Yeah.
And then we'd come up with ridiculous comments and we'd like, one day I was just like, we should be recording this because it's pretty funny. That's what we started doing.
Yeah.
So thanks, Sharon. Thank you for your insight. We do not rehearse. We do not research. What you hear is what you get.
So if you want a podcast where you learn stuff because the podcasters have researched it, this is not the podcast for you.
No, look at Crime Junkie and
My Favourite Murder.
But they talk probably more than we even do with their banter. Case File is highly researched.
One of my favourites is This Podcast Will Kill You.
Yes,
is about disease.
Yeah,
and they do a lot of research.
And they're the same production company as Crime Junkie, which is my favourite crime one. But if you want research, don't come to us.
Ours is banter.
It's banter and reading from Wikipedia. And we post the link in the episode description.
So you can follow along with us.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. And in case we've spoken too fast or brushed over something, you can go open that article yourself and then you can go do into, further research.
And go into a Wikipedia spiral.
Yes, which is also what got us onto this. Yeah.
Like, what is
the
that?
Wikipedia
what is that?
Hole where you end up yeah. in this massive loop.
And you're like, wait, how did I get to this? Oh, really interesting. If you look this up, there's actually Wikipedia games online that you can do.
Really?
Yeah, so one of them is like 6 clicks to Jesus. So or 7 clicks to Jesus or something. So in other words, can you get from any article clicking only 6 times to get to Jesus?
Oh, wow. Like clicking on the link.
Yeah, to get to Jesus. And other ones are like timed ones. So you go, okay, you have this article. Whoever can get to this article the quickest wins.
Wow.
And there's another variation of that. Who have this article, whoever can get to this article in the least amount of clicks wins.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's really interesting Wikipedia games. Look it up.
Yeah. So, yeah, again, thanks, Sharon, who said, it sounds like we are reading from a Wikipedia article. You were correct, Sharon. And that might
You're not wrong.
It might be the smartest thing you've ever said. All right. Thanks, Sharon.
Okay.
Love you.
So, it's my turn.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay. This one's quite dark.
Yeah, good.
So this is slightly on the same, similar, actually it's the same country, similar vein to when I did that Japanese murder.
Junko Furuta.
Yes, Junko Furuta. Yeah, and that one was brutal. Really brutal. So
maybe not for children.
No.
I mean, I know some of our friends like have their children listening in the car too. So probably not.
Probably
like,
not.
Too
I mean,
graphic for the
I mean, if you're an adult,
teens.
I probably would listen to it first and then make your own decision about whether you want your children to be exposed to. Because it is historical. So it's important to note that this did happen.
Yeah.
And this is what humans are capable of.
And every child is different too.
Yeah. I mean, it probably wouldn't be... Your 5-year-old probably wouldn't even know what's still being spoken about, but your 10-year-old probably would. And likewise, a 15-year-old probably should know.
Okay, so it's... Okay.
Yeah.
Historical.
So it's
right.
historical.
What have we got? Surprising.
Okay, it's Unit 731. I think have you heard about this?
I think I came across it in a list.
Yeah. So, Unit 731 was a covert biological and chemical warfare research and development unit of the Imperial Japanese Army that undertook lethal human experimentation during the second Sino-Japanese War of World War II. So, I think the second...
That was a lot of words. What?
So... Unit 731 was a research unit of the Japanese Army.
In World War II.
In World War II, during the Second Sino-Japanese War.
Second what?
The Second Sino-Japanese War. Which was the S-I-N-O. Sino? Sino?
Okay.
Yeah, which is the conflict between China and Japan from 1937 to 1945. So within the Second World War, but it was specifically between China and Japan.
Okay.
I thought it might have been the bit about between Japan and America, because they had their own deal going on during the Second World War. Yeah, when America joined, they were pretty much like, yeah, we want to defeat the Nazis, but we want to defeat the Japs more. Because of the Pearl Harbor incident.
Yeah.
Okay. It was responsible for some of the most notorious war crimes carried out by Imperial Japan. Unit 731 was based at the Pingfang district of Harbin, the largest city in the Japanese puppet state of Manchukuo, now in northeast China. So it sounds like from this, the Japanese had their own state within China at that time.
Oh,
so this, and it's where it occurred in China, but it was run by the Japanese people.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so it was between 1935 and 1945. About 3,000 people died at this unit, and 10,000 people were victims.
Like prisoners of war?
Yeah. I mean, they weren't prisoners of war.
Uh-huh.
I'll go into more detail. It was officially known as the Epidemic Prevention and Water Purification Department of the Kwantung Army.
Be aware of those water purification places.
Originally set up under the Kem Paitai Military Police of the Empire of Japan, Unit 731 was taken over and commanded until the end of the war by General Shiro Ishii, a combat medic officer in the Kwantung Army. Now I'm thinking of Kill Bill.
Iron Ishii.
The facility itself was built between 1934 and 1939 and officially adopted the name Unit 731 in 1941.
At least. I think of the unit number.
I assumed it was like sequential with other unit numbers.
Okay, not just random.
At least 3,000 men, women, and children from at least 600 every year provided by the Kempeitai were subject as logs to experimentation conducted by Unit 731 at the camp based in Pingfang alone, which does not include victims from other medical experimentation sites such as Unit 100. Unit 731 participants of Japan attest that most of the victims they experimented on were Chinese, while a lesser percentage were Soviet, Mongolian, Korean, and other allied POWs. Mm. The unit received generous support from the Japanese government up until the end of the war in 1945. Instead of being tried for war crimes after the war, the researchers involved were secretly given immunity by the US in exchange for the data they gathered through human experimentation.
Of course.
Other researchers that the Soviet forces managed to attest first were tried at the Khabarovsk war crime trials in 1949. The Americans did not try the researchers so that the information and experience gained in the bioweapons could be co-opted into the US biological warfare program, much as they had done with the German researchers in Operation Paperclip.
Okay. What's Operation Paperclip?
We're getting into a Wikipedia hole.
Uh-oh.
Operation Paperclip was a secret program of the Joint Intelligence Objectives Agency, largely carried out by special agents of Army CIC, in which more than 1,600 German scientists, engineers, and technicians, such as Wernher von Braun and his V-2 rocket team, were taken from Germany to America for U.S. government employment, primarily between 1945 and 1959.
Not Werner.
Hmm?
Not Werner.
Werner. Oh, many were former members and some were known leaders of the Nazi Party.
Mm.
The purpose of Operation Paperclip was U.S. military advantage in the Soviet-American Cold War and the space race.
Yes.
The Soviet Union...
They get me started on the space race.
The Soviet Union was more aggressive in forcibly recruiting more than 2,200 German specialists, a total of more than 6,000 people, including family members. During one night on October 22nd, 1946. One night, and they got 6,000 people in one night.
Wow.
Okay, let me keep going with this.
Yep.
No, so back to Unit 731. On May 6th, 1947, Douglas MacArthur, as Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces, wrote to Washington that additional data, possibly some statements from Ishii, can probably be retained by informing Japanese involved that the information will be retained in intelligence channels and not be employed as war crimes evidence. Victim accounts were then largely ignored or dismissed in the West as communist propaganda. The Americans are awful.
Pretty much.
Like,
but don't.
We're just going to ignore the fact that all these people were experimented on and use the data.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You don't hear it, like... I mean, you don't know if Australian had done that.
Well, you know, quite possibly and quite often the case that they do follow in America's footsteps too.
I know.
Because they're just...
You can't... You know, that's the thing.
Country full of leaders who are copycats.
You like to think that we're better than the Americans, but we don't know that for sure.
No, I don't think that.
Okay, formation. Do I need to read this bit?
Get information.
This is probably more about... This is not really... it is relevant. It's about how it was formed, which I assume is a lot of military politics, which isn't interesting.
No, it's going to be boring.
If you want to know more about the military politics of why...
Click on the Wikipedia link that will be in the podcast description.
Just a bit at the bottom.
Sharon gives me
It says, medical doctors and professors from Japan were attracted to join 731 by the rare opportunity to conduct human experimentation and strong financial support from the army.
Of course. Wow, that would have been like a... I don't even know, like...
Being
a kid in the candy store having that
opportunity. Yeah, but also as well, can you imagine how much money they would have gotten too? Yeah. And think about, like, the amount of money that scientists get these days. They get fuck all.
Yeah.
Can, like, if your government is saying, look, we're gonna provide this opportunity for you to do human experimentation, which back then was not regulated as much as it is now.
But and we're going to give you money.
Sort of mean.
Imagine being one of those scientists or doctors and just being like,
Yes. But, like...
Like, I get to experiment on people.
But that's the thing. I can see the appeal.
Oh yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
And like,
so
as awful as that sounds, I can see why they did this.
Yeah.
Because sure. In terms of even the money aspect, this is during the war.
Yeah.
People don't have money, yeah, and all exactly. of a sudden you're being paid to be a scientist. Like, yeah. Holy shit, exactly. That doesn't happen.
Exactly.
Unless you've got tenure at a major university, you don't really get paid.
No. That's what I mean. Like, that would have been the yes, please.
Okay. So the next section is activities. A special project code named Maruta used human beings for experiments. Test subjects were gathered from the surrounding population and were sometimes referred to euphemistically as logs. Used in such contexts as how many logs fell.
Oh my god.
The term originated as a joke on the part of the staff because the official cover story for the facility given to the local authorities was that it was a lumber mill.
Okay.
However, in an account by a man who worked as a junior uniformed civilian employee of the Imperial Japanese Army in 731, the project internally was called Holzklotz.
Okay.
Which is German word for log. In a further parallel, the corpses of sacrificed subjects were disposed by incineration. Sacrificed is in, mm-hmm. in quotation marks.
Mm-hmm.
Researchers at Unit 37 were also published their results in peer-reviewed journals.
Oh, wow.
Writing as though the research had been done on non-human primates called Manchurian monkeys or long-tailed monkeys.
Are you serious?
That's awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, why publish the data?
Because it's data. You know, it's like being a scientist. Data is data. Like,
yeah, but like, you run the risk of exposing the whole operation of doing that. Like, how regulated must have those peer-reviewed articles be? They mm-hmm. must have been reviewed over by hundreds of people to make sure they weren't going to get discovered.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. The test subjects were selected to give a wide cross-section of the population and include common criminals, captured bandits, anti-Japanese partisans, political prisoners, the homeless, and mentally handicapped.
Oh, wow.
And also people rounded up by the Kempeitai Army for alleged suspicious activities.
Yeah, which would probably include being gay.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They included infants, the elderly, and pregnant women.
Oh, wow.
The members of the unit, approximately 300 researchers, included doctors and bacteriologists. Many had been desensitized to performing cruel experiments from experience in animal research.
Yeah.
Because you've got to remember, this is pre-Nuremberg trials and Nuremberg legislation. So before that, there wasn't any regulation on how humans were experimented on. And even then, in the 70s, psychological experimentation was also very unregulated.
Yeah, of course.
Because if you think about research that you know, such as the Stanford Prison Experiment,
that's what I'm
that was
to
in, like, the 60s or 70s, after the Nuremberg.
Yeah, and you know what's kind of funny? Well, not funny, where people go now, oh, why don't we just test, instead of testing on animals, which is really good, we shouldn't test on animals, let's test on prisoners. It's like, well, that's been done before.
And that's just as, I think it's just as bad. You shouldn't be testing on anyone as much as you can possibly.
Not without consent.
Exactly. I mean, that's the surgeons. If the prisoners consented to it. Yeah, if the prisoners go, yep, I'll get a shorter sentence.
Yeah.
Then, and they consent to it, sure, whatever. It's their own body. They have agency over their own body.
Is that not unethical, though? It's a sentence. Term.
Yeah, and it goes along with the whole thing about providing compensation for experimentation as well.
Yes, like people you're not should supposed go, to, right?
They do, though, because they can compensate them for usually what they're saying is they compensate them for the time that they would otherwise be working.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, you're doing this experiment when you could be working, we're going to compensate you for your time.
Yeah, for what you would be earning.
And that's the same thing about jury as well.
Yeah, so then I guess if you apply that for people being in prison, like, should it be a payment or should it be... their time.
Yeah. I mean, like, giving them less a sentence is compensating them for their time.
Yeah, but
in a different way.
Yeah. I don't know if that's really
it actually is an ethical argument about getting people who are, pardon me, homeless or poor. So they actually try not to have people who are homeless or poor, even if they are suitable for the study, solely based on the major reason they're doing this, regardless of how much harm they're going to come into, is money.
Yeah.
So it clouds their judgment.
And that's the same as asking then prisoners to do it. Because they're going to be like, yeah, shit, I'll probably do anything for a shorter sentence.
Yeah.
which really puts...
And so it's an ethical thing about what they call vulnerable people in the population.
Yep.
So you try your best not to get those people because then you're you could potentially be exploiting them.
Yeah, of course. And that's why, you know, when people say, oh, let's just test on, you know, pedophiles and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, they're still fucking technically human too. Yeah. And it's completely unethical.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Sorry,
so I just needed to research what one term meant. I think I knew what it meant, but now, okay. So they're going to go now into the different kinds of experimentation they did.
Okay.
So the first one is vivisection, which basically just means cutting open something for experimentation. So doing surgery for experimentation. Thousands of men, women, and children, and infants, interned at prisoner of war camps were subjected to vivisection, often without anaesthesia, usually ending in the death of the victim. Vivisections were performed on prisoners after infecting them with various diseases. Researchers performed invasive surgery on prisoners, removing organs to study the effects of disease on the human body.
But what kind of disease would they give the human body?
Bacterial disease.
Oh, wow.
They had bacteriologists.
Yeah.
So they would have probably given them things like, I don't know, typhoid, diphtheria, whooping cough, stuff like that.
That's fucking awful.
Probably not even typhoid, probably things like smallpox. Yeah. Smallpox still existed back then.
Yeah, that's fucking awful, though.
Because these were conducted on the patients while they were alive... Hang on, let me start that sentence again. These were conducted while the patients were alive because it was thought that the death of the subject would alter results.
Possibly.
Not unless they died and then you did it straight away, it wouldn't.
True.
Like, if they died and then left them for a couple hours, yeah, it would. But if they died and then you did it straight after they died, nah.
It's about not testing on them in the first place.
I suppose also as well, they probably would want to look at the progression of disease.
Yes,
so they wouldn't want to wait until the person died of the disease.
No.
They might want to wait until...
So you introduce the disease to them and then see the progression.
Yeah, and then like, oh, we're going to kill you at this point, but we want to know what it looks like at this particular point in time.
Yeah.
Which is awful, and I feel awful for even saying this.
Saying what?
For even talking about it in such a critical way. Okay. Prisoners had limbs amputated in order to study blood loss.
Fucking hell, can you imagine doing that? Just gonna cut your leg off and let's see how long it takes you to bleed out.
What the
and
fuck?
Go.
What the fuck?
like, who the fuck came up with these?
Those limbs that were removed were sometimes reattached to the opposite sides of the body.
Oh, wow.
Ugh. Some prisoners had their stomachs surgically removed.
Wow.
And the esophagus reattached to the intestines. That would kill you so quickly.
Yeah, but it's pretty interesting that, yeah, they're basically like, let's see what this does.
But that reminds me of so many, of kind of like Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Because what Frankenstein did in the book, because Frankenstein's the doctor, not the monster, he would do experiments like that on animals.
Yeah.
He would, like, join animals together.
Yeah, yeah. And then that, reminds me of a lot of horror movies I love, like even Human Centipede. Like, let's see what happens if we sew people, mouth to bum and...
No, but that's the thing. They would die so quickly of them having their stomach removed because their stomach, you need your stomach to emulsify and digest fat.
Yeah, not if you're not eating.
Yeah, but they probably would still feed them some form of food.
Probably.
But that's the thing. What's the point of doing that and then not feeding them?
Well, I'm just saying if it was like an internment camp, like they're not going to be fed very much.
Yeah, but they wouldn't do that surgery unless they wanted to find out what would happen if they ate.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the thing. They wouldn't be able to digest fat because they don't have a stomach for the bile to go into.
Well, they probably starved them beforehand and then...
Yeah, but they would. But the thing is, even if they got fed a normal diet, they would die very quickly because they'd have no fat.
Mm.
They wouldn't be able to emulsify their food to digest the protein in it.
Okay.
Like, yeah, that's really bleh. Okay. Parts of organs, such as the brain, lungs, and liver, were removed from some prisoners. Imperial Japanese Army surgeon Ken Yuasa suggests that the practice of vivisection on human subjects was widespread even outside Unit 731, estimating that at least 1,000 Japanese personnel were involved in the practice in mainland China. Okay, next section is germ warfare attacks. Prisoners were injected with diseases disguised as vaccinations to study their effects.
That's how vaccinations start getting a bad breath.
Well, that's not when it happened. That happened in 1980. But anyway, about the whole vaccines are bad and cause autism
But then even back then, if people looked back then and be like, oh, well, you don't know what people are injecting you with because it's true.
Yeah,
like,
but
there's some basis for that. But then be going, oh, here's a vaccine and it's not actually a vaccine. Like... I can see what that argument is. Where but this information... This we don't even know what we're getting injected with.
This information wouldn't have come out until, like, the 1990s. Because information like this was kept secret for 50 years.
Oh, yeah, that I know that, deal. But it's probably... I bet it's anti-vaxxers using that argument now.
Oh, yeah, true, yeah,
and
true.
Being like, yeah, look at this. The, they told people it was vaccine and it wasn't. Like, how do we know people? They aren't doing that now.
Because they're not prisoners of war in a camp. Are the humans living in the real world?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. To study the effects of untreated venereal disease, so STDs,
yes.
Males and female prisoners were deliberately infected with syphilis and gonorrhea and then studied. Prisoners were also repeatedly subject to rape by guards. So, yeah, that's interesting because those diseases take a long time to progress.
Yeah.
Like, syphilis can be in your system for years before you get anything, and then suddenly you're insane. It's true.
I know, but it's kind of funny.
And suddenly you're crazy.
A certain president of the United States.
Plague, fleas, infected clothing, and infected supplies encased in bombs were dropped on various targets. So, plague, fleas, infected clothing, and infected supplies were bombed. And then and dropped on targets. So let's just bomb some places with plague fleas. What? The resulting cholera, anthrax, and plague were estimated to have killed at least 400,000 Chinese citizens. Tularemia was tested on Chinese civilians. Tularemia is rabbit fever.
What?
Rabbit fever.
Rabbit fever?
Rabbit fever. Infectious disease caused by a particular bacterium, Francisella tularensis. Symptoms may include fever, skin ulcers, and enlarged lymph nodes. Okay, tularemia. Okay, Unit 731 and its affiliated units, Unit 1644 and Unit 100, among others, were involved in research, development, and experimental deployment of epidemic-creating bio-warfare weapons in assaults against the Chinese populace. Both civilian and military. Plague-infected fleas bred in the laboratories of 731 and 644 were spread in low-flying airplanes upon Chinese cities.
Oh my lord.
Yeah. Including coastal Ningbo in 1940 and Chengde, Hunan province in 1941. This military aerial spraying killed tens of thousands of people in bubonic plague epidemics. Wow. An expedition to Nanking involved spreading typhoid and paratyphoid germs into the wells, marshes, and houses of the city, as well as infusing them into snacks to be distributed among the locals.
Oh, God.
Epidemics broke out shortly after, to the elation of many researchers, where it was concluded that paratyphoid was the most effective of the pathogens.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck?
Germ warfare is scary.
It is scary. And it's also like smallpox has been eradicated in the general population. But everybody seems to think both the Russians and the Americans have smallpox somewhere.
Yeah, I reckon they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past the Americans, but I don't know about the Russians. The Russians probably do too.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
They're just as dirty as the Americans.
Due to pressure from numerous accounts of the bio-warfare attacks, Chiang Kai-shek sent a delegation of army and foreign medical personnel in November in 1941 to document evidence and treat the afflicted. A report on the Japanese use of plague-infested fleas on Chengde was made widely available in the following year, but was not addressed by the Allied powers until Franklin D. Roosevelt issued a public warning in 1943, 2 years later, condemning the attacks.
Wow.
It is possible that Unit 731's methods and objectives were also followed in Indonesia in a case of a failed experiment designed to validate a synthesized tetanus toxoid vaccine. So I guess they infected people with tetanus and tried to work out if a vaccine would work, or they vaccinated and then infected them with tetanus.
Mm-hmm.
Tetanus is weird.
Tetanus is weird.
It causes paralysis.
Yeah, and you get locked.
Is it ascending or descending paralysis?
What?
Does it go from head to toe or toe to head?
Do you I'm pretty sure it's head to toe, but
so
I could be
descending.
Wrong. Yeah, but I could be wrong because I think one of the early signs is getting neck stiffness.
Yeah, and then you and then they do that thing where their like entire body is just rigid, like a board.
Yeah,
weird. Okay.
Yeah. Hooray for tetanus shots.
Ugh, but that like triomorphi like that is just scary. And
it is really scary.
And so wrong. Like all of this
is wrong.
But can you like imagine subjecting a population of hundreds of thousands of people to a disease like that who you know don't have immunity? Like that's just so wrong.
Yeah.
And like people then are saying as you were saying that people could use this against vaccines, people could use that against things like chemtrails.
Yeah, I was literally thinking that when you're reading that about the planes flying over.
Chemtrails.
Thinking no wonder there's all that conspiracy about chemtrails. Yeah. And because it's been fucking done.
Yeah, because humans are gross.
Pretty much. But I don't know. Also part of me hopes to think that a lot was learned from this.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
That
this
it wasn't
why,
for nothing.
This is why history as a general concept is so important, especially modern history, because we can look back and go, let's not do that.
Yeah.
That was a bad idea.
Look what happened when we stuck limbs onto the wrong side of the body and took out stomachs.
Oh, it's probably more like, look what happened when we gave scientists humans to experiment on.
Okay, that too. The bigger picture.
Yeah, don't do that.
What happened when we gave the money and free reign?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
No, this is why we have things like the Nuremberg.
Yeah.
And why we have such strict rules on experimenting on humans and
even prisoners.
Yeah, and animals.
Yes.
People, I mean,
I still think it's too lenient on animals.
Yeah. Well, that's
don't test on them.
Well, I don't think.
I think full stop. If you can't get consent, which you cannot with a non-human animal, don't do it.
Well, that's the thing. I don't like. I agree with you in terms of cosmetic testing. We don't need to be testing cosmetics on animals. That's stupid.
Oh, shampoo hurts when you get it in your eyes. Yeah,
shit.
Of course it does.
It's soap. Soap hurts.
Don't put it in your
eyes.
We
already know this.
So don't do it to the rabbits.
Don't do it.
Like, you don't need to.
I think cosmetic testing in animals is stupid. However, I do acknowledge the fact that the current system means we can't get any drugs through without testing on animals. And because I'm vegetarian and you're vegan, we live on a model of harm reduction. It's impossible for, impossible for us to have the medications we need in order to survive.
And to me, I'm not a militant vegan. Like, it's about reducing harm where possible.
Exactly.
Like, and unfortunately, some of the medications I need to live probably have been tested on animals.
Most likely they have.
And even some of the capsules I take meds in might have gelatin in them. Like,
that's the thing, we can't avoid that.
No.
Because if we avoided that, we would end up in hospital. We would probably be dead.
Yeah.
Things like paracetamol and aspirin and stuff like that have probably been tested on animals in some way.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, unfortunately that's the only way we can survive.
But again, I think just get rid of that. And
but how else would you do it?
Humans, but with consent.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is some these drugs at certain levels that we don't know about, at that point, will kill people.
Oh.
No one's going to consent to that.
Well,
no one's going to consent to a drug that have no idea what will happen.
People who maybe want to die anyway probably would.
Yeah, but there's not many of those people. Not enough.
Well, you don't
know. Not enough.
You don't know.
Anyway, let me continue. Frostbite testing. Army engineer Yoshimura Hisato conducted experiments by taking captives outside, dipping various appendages into water, and allowing the limbs to freeze.
Sorry, it's kind of funny.
Once frozen, which testimony from a Japanese officer said was determined after the frozen arms, when struck with a short stick, emitted a sound resembling which wood a board gives when it is struck. Ice was chipped away and the area doused in water. The effects of different water temperatures were tested by bludgeoning the victim to determine if any areas were still frozen. I'm gonna hit you.
Yeah.
And determine if you're still frozen. What?
That's great, good.
Okay, syphilis.
Syphilis.
Unit members orchestrated forced sex acts between infected and non-infected prisoners to transmit the disease. As the testimony of a prison guard on the subject of devising a method for transmission of syphilis between patients shows, infection of venereal disease by injection was abandoned, and the researchers started forcing the prisoners into sexual acts with each other. Four or five unit members dressed in white laboratory clothing, completely covering the body, only with eyes and mouth visible, breast covered, handled the tests. A male and female, one infected with syphilis, would be brought together in a cell and forced into sex with each other. It was made clear that anyone resisting would be shot.
What?
That's awful.
Oh my god.
Ooh, this is what I meant by this is a very dark article.
It's, yeah. That's, I don't know. I'm not finding it that dark. It's very interesting.
Interesting. I'm glad you're finding it interesting. Very interesting. I'm just finding it very dark and kind of sad. I'm kind of sad.
That people think, like, who thought to do these things?
Yeah, who thought that, like, how did that even cross your mind?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
Like, what kind of sick people are these?
Scientists.
Scientists are innately curious. It's one of one of the only things that most scientists have is curiosity.
True.
Doesn't necessarily mean we're all evil people, though.
True. I mean, there's... Let's see what happens when we put a limb outside in the snow and then smack it.
But also, I think people go, like, scientists probably would have these ideas, but they don't have the ability to do them, so they just kind of throw them away. Whereas in this case, these scientists did have the ability to do them.
Mm.
That's what I said about don't give scientists free rein and lots of money.
True.
Because this happens. Money. In a way, scientists having not enough money means they do their work better.
True.
Because they need to get their work published.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to be up to a standard.
Yeah.
Okay, let me get going.
Scientists with money.
After victims were infected, they were vivisected at different stages of infection, like we said.
Yeah.
So that internal and external organs could be observed as the disease progressed.
I mean, it's a good idea.
Yeah, but...
But no, while they're, like, awake.
Yeah. Testimony from multiple guards claims the female victims as being hosts of the disease, even if they were forcibly infected. What? That's the whole thing about... So in one of the episodes of This Podcast Will Kill You, we talked about gonorrhea. And then
gonorrhea.
And then we're talking about how women were deemed the only people who could transmit the disease. Yeah. Like, men couldn't transmit it somehow. Like, the men were always the victims. Yeah. Like, it's all the dirty women spreading the disease.
People still think that?
I mean, to an extent, but not that bad.
Men are always...
Scientists don't think that. Back then, scientists thought that the women could only be the host of the disease, not the men.
Mm.
The men couldn't somehow... Same thing as this, is that female victims as being hosts of the disease, even as they were forcibly infected. Genitals of female prisoners that were infected by syphilis were called jam-filled buns by guards.
Oh, ooh, nasty.
Gross. Gross, gross, gross. Some children grew up inside the walls of Unit 731 infected with syphilis. A young Corps member deployed to train at Unit 731 recalled viewing a batch of subjects that would undergo syphilis testing. One was a Chinese woman holding an infant. One was a white Russian woman with a daughter of 4 or 5 years of age, and the last was a white Russian woman with a boy of about 6 or 7. The children of these women were tested in similar ways to their parents, with specific emphasis on determining how longer infection periods
affected the effectiveness.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Don't infect kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
The
next section is rape and forced pregnancy.
Oh, okay.
So we should put a trigger warning on this.
Yeah, probably.
Before the article is posted. Yeah. Female prisoners were forced to become pregnant for use in experiments. The hypothetical possibility of vertical transmission from mother to child of diseases, particularly syphilis, was the stated reason for the torture. Fetal survival and damage to mother's reproductive organs were objects of interest. Though a large number of babies were born in captivity, there were no accounts of any survivors of Unit 731, children included. It is suspected that the children of female prisoners were killed after birth or aborted. While male prisoners were often used in single studies so that the results of the experimentation on them would not be clouded by other variables, women were sometimes used in bacteriological or physiological experiments, sex experiments, and the victims of sex crimes.
Jeez.
The testimony of a unit member that served as guard graphically demonstrated this reality. One of the former researchers I located told me that one day he had a human experiment scheduled, but there was still time to kill. So he and another unit member took the keys to the cells and opened one that housed a Chinese woman. One of the unit members raped her. The other member took the keys and opened another cell. There was a Chinese woman in there who had been used in a frostbite experiment. She had several fingers missing and her bones were black.
Oh my God.
Gangrene set in. He was about to rape her anyway, and then he saw that her sex organ was festering with pus oozing to the surface. He gave up that idea, left and locked the door, and then later went on to his experimental work.
Oh my God. Ugh. It's awful.
Ugh.
To even think of that woman just being in there with...
Yeah.
Not how much pain that would have been far out.
All right, yeah.
The oozing.
Yeah. And, ugh. Weapons testing. Human targets were used to test grenades.
Mm.
Positioned at various distances and in different positions. Flamethrowers were tested on humans. Humans were also tied to stakes and used as targets to test pathogen-releasing bombs, chemical weapons, and explosive bombs. Other experiments. In other tests, subjects were deprived of food and water to determine the length of time until death, placed in low-pressure chambers until their eyes popped from the sockets, experimented upon to determine the relationship between temperature burns and human survival, electrocuted, placed into centrifuges and spun until death. What the fuck?
I didn't even have a centrifuge that big.
How do you even think of this? I mean, like, oh, let's just spin them until they die.
Injected with animal blood, exposed to lethal doses of X-ray, subjected to various chemical weapons inside gas chambers, injected with seawater, and burned or buried alive. Injected with seawater? What do you think that would do?
Again, so ridiculous and random.
Dumb.
To think of.
Dumb.
You know, that's inject people. And animal blood. Let's inject people with animal blood.
What do you think they're going to do? Turn into the animal?
Well, maybe.
No.
You don't know until they test.
Well, their body's
going
to react. Going to react to that and form an immune response. Because they'll go, what the fuck is this? That's your body pretty much every time anything else is introduced to your body. Like, what the fuck?
It's my body every day.
Yeah.
Because it keeps thinking that my... own bowels or an object.
I feel like yours
what
is.
What the fuck?
I feel like yours is more like going under like a siege. Like no, we haven't got them yet, but this time we will. Like there's
every
a
day.
War. Like there's a war going on inside your bowels.
Yeah, that's what it feels like every day. Yeah, all the time.
Like,
24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Be like, and pretty much my body being like,
what the fuck is this?
Probably not even a war. It's your body like forming a war against something that.
Imaginary.
Isn't even real.
That's what I mean. It's like every day.
It's the Cold War. There's a Cold War in your belly.
Probably. Every day. My immune system goes, what the fuck is this?
Yes.
And
what
my
the
bowel's
fuck?
Like, it's just me. I'm the bell. I've been here since day one, guys. And it's like,
nope. Traitor.
I don't believe you. Dead.
I just love. I love.
I need to make an animation of this.
I just love the idea of like, I don't know, you're getting a cut and then your body going, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Every time.
Much. That's me. Every time something happens to my body.
Yeah. What the fuck?
My immune system. What the fuck is this? Kill it. What the
Kill
fuck
it.
Is this?
What the
Kill
fuck?
It. And what the fuck is this? Skin. Kill it.
Kill it.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. What the fuck is it? Lungs. Kill it.
Some tests had no medical or military purpose at all. No duh.
You think?
Such as injecting urine into prisoners' kidneys.
What? Why?
Horse urine.
Horse urine. What?
Horse urine.
Oh my.
Into prisoners' kidneys.
Again, why? Why is...
Or amputating limbs and resewing them onto other stumps on the body.
Yeah,
though they
I
could,
kind of
they
like
could
that.
Argue that that's, that, that's,
kind of
that,
like
that has a reason. Because you go, They lost both their arm and their leg. Their arm isn't salvageable. Let's put their leg on their arm.
Yeah.
Like you could argue that that had a reason. Okay, next section is butt.
Kind of a good idea.
Yeah,
I guess.
It's interesting. It's very Frankenstein.
And I think it serves some kind of purpose.
I think all the scientists went into this thinking that everything they did had a purpose.
I guess by putting someone in a centrifuge and spinning it till they die.
They could say that in terms of like air, what's it called, fighter pilots and the G's that they experience.
Yeah.
That probably were determining what G is fatal. What level of centrifugal force is fatal. So
all of it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So the reason I'm also reading this article out is if you read articles about German human experimentation, it's very parallel. They did pretty much the same things. They did experiments on frostbite, especially I remember them talking about the frostbite ones. Mm. And when I was in uni, we talked about this, and we talked about Germans in particular. And we talked about, this is my first year of uni, we talked about Nuremberg and why Nuremberg was a thing. So Nuremberg was the trials that they did in Germany on the doctors who did this stuff.
Mm.
And basically out of that brought out this particular, I don't know, it's a treaty or legislation. It's like a worldwide standard on how we do human experimentation and what deems safe.
Yeah.
So in other words, the level of consent you need to have. We talked about vulnerable populations and stuff like that and what you can and can't do. Because before then, they had no guideline. There was no guideline saying you can't do this to humans.
Yeah.
So in other words, what they did, though we deem now a war crime, technically wasn't illegal.
Yeah.
Unless the country that they were said it was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, no, there was no worldwide WHO, like, World Health Organization standard to say that this was wrong.
Oh, WHO? World Health Organization?
WHO?
Yeah.
WHO?
Cool.
But it's really interesting because one of the people I was in this class with said, oh,
I think he talks about this even in other episodes.
Yeah, but I'm going to say, even though, like, they were like, oh, they're all horrible people and they should all die, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you got to think about the context in which these things happened.
Yeah, exactly.
They probably weren't all horrible people to begin with.
No.
They probably all were just curious scientists.
Well, that and probably some were probably given orders as well.
Yeah, and propaganda can be amazingly effective.
Definitely. I mean, I show a lot of my students that, learning, you know, screen language, like intro to film theory, really. And so much stuff of before we had standards and legislation was used for propaganda.
Yeah.
Like, you had bloody early days of animation because it didn't really have a set audience back then. They didn't figure out that it was, you know,
good for children
and all that kind of stuff. You know, a lot of animated figures were turned into propaganda films.
Yeah.
It's like,
You can be amazed by the power of propaganda and the power of authority. The power of rank.
And even one of the earliest film studios in Melbourne, Victoria, produced Christian films only.
Yeah.
I think I might get it wrong by saying Salvos, it might not be Salvos, I forget now.
Vinnies.
One of those Christian organisations. They're literally just churning out
Christian
films. And again, that's a form of propaganda.
Yeah.
Like, and it wasn't until one of the good prime ministers we had, maybe Gough Whitlam, was like, or maybe earlier than that, was like, no, Christianity does not belong in making our films.
Yeah, it's not what we want to be known for.
No, so let's get rid of that, please.
Yeah.
And
that's the thing, I hate when people say that everybody who was Nazi or everybody who did all these things is a bad person.
No, because they were given orders and basically being like, right, if you don't do this order, you will die.
Or your family will die.
Yeah, or we'll come after your family, quite common.
And yet it happened a lot. So, like, and there were
bad people.
There were good people who tried to make change, but when you have a fascist regime that is so huge and with so much power, one person isn't going to make a lot of difference. I mean, one person can if you look at films like Schindler's List.
Yeah, it will.
They do make a difference, but not enough to throw it over.
Not straight away.
Because there was, if you look at the film Valkyrie, there was a group of people who did try to assassinate Hitler. Didn't work. They tried at least a couple of times.
I think there was several attempts
didn't work.
Hitler, but
And that's the thing, is that shows the power of the fascist regime.
Yeah.
As much as you try and get rid of the leader, it doesn't always work.
No, it does not.
Anyway, let me go on. So my point about this is not all people who do this stuff are bad people.
No.
Okay.
Not all bad. Hashtag not all bad.
Not all bad people. Biological warfare.
Again, didn't we look at biology?
I think there's more.
Oh, that was German warfare.
Yeah.
They're different?
This is different because I think this is more about, again, affecting populations, but we'll talk about it. Japanese researchers performed tests on prisoners with bubonic plague, cholera, smallpox, botulism, and other diseases. Cholera is fucking awful.
That botulism? Holy shit.
Cholera, you die of diarrhea.
Mm.
You literally cannot hold anything in your system.
Cholera?
You die of dehydration. You vomit and die.
Like dysentery?
Worse.
Oh, is it?
Dysentery is like chronic diarrhea, but you're not vomiting as well.
Okay.
And cholera is like literally...
That's
actually your body reacting to water. Like it forces your body to not
get rid of all the...
to get rid of much water as possible, so you die of dehydration. It's fucking awful.
Wow.
Okay. This research led to the development of the defoliation bacilli bomb and the flea bomb used to spread bubonic plague. Some of these bombs were designed with porcelain shells, an idea proposed by Ishii in 1938.
Ishii.
These bombs enabled Japanese soldiers to launch biological attacks, infecting agriculture, reservoirs, wells, and other areas with anthrax, plague carrier fleas, typhoid, dysentery, cholera, and other deadly pathogens. During biological bomb experiments, researchers dressed in protective suits would examine the dying victims. Infected food supplies and clothing were dropped by airplane into areas of China not occupied by Japanese forces. In addition, poisoned food and candies were given to unsuspecting victims. In 2002, so this is like now, 2002, in Changde, China, site of the plague flea bombing, held an international symposium on the crimes of bacteriological warfare, which an estimated that the number of the people killed by the Japanese Imperial Army, germ warfare, and human experiments was about 580,000.
Jesus.
The American historian Sheldon H. Harris states that at least over 200,000 died. In addition to Chinese casualties, 1,700 Japanese in Chaiking were killed by their own biological weapons while attempting to unleash the biological agent, indicating serious issues with distribution. Suck it. During the final months of World War II, Japan planned to use plague as a biological weapon against San Diego, California.
Oh, wow.
The plan was scheduled to launch on September 22nd, but Japan surrendered 5 weeks earlier.
Hmm.
Wow. So in other words, if they hadn't have dropped the bomb, San Diego would have been infected with plague.
Awesome.
So they're just as bad as each other. Sorry.
That's what I'm saying. Like, everyone's as bad as each other.
As bad as each other. Okay. Prisoners and victims. According to A.S. Wells, the majority of victims were mostly Chinese, Korean, and Soviet, although they may have also included European, American, Indian, and Australian prisoners of war. Sheldon H. Harris documented that the victims were generally political dissidents, communist sympathizers, ordinary criminals, impoverished civilians, and the mentally handicapped.
And the mentally handicapped, I'll probably put in gay people.
Gay. Because back then people thought being gay was a disease.
Yes. Oh, not even just a disease, that you're mentally unwell, and people... still think that.
Yeah.
And trans people.
Yeah. Especially trans people. I feel like trans people especially would have been targeted in that.
Yes.
Because especially, like, they're probably, like, they definitely would have been deemed mentally handicapped.
Oh, for sure. That's what I'm saying. They still are by a lot of people, unfortunately.
A lot of governments as well, unfortunately. The world we live in.
Yes. Okay. Not much has changed.
No, not really. Unit 731 participants of Japan attested that most of the victims they experimented on were Chinese, while a small percentage were Soviet, Mongolian, Korean, and other allied POWs. Also, Seichi Monomura suggests that almost 70% of victims who died in the Pingfang camp were Chinese, including both civilian and military. By close to 30% of the victims were Soviet. While some others were Southeast Asians and Pacific Islanders, colonies of the Empire of Japan, and a small number were Allied prisoners of war. Robert Peaty, a British major in the Royal Army Ordnance Corps, was the senior ranking Allied officer. During this time, he kept a secret diary. He was interviewed by the Imperial War Museum in 1981, and audio recording tape reels are in the IWM archives.
Wow.
Divisions. Unit 731 was divided into 8 divisions. And Division 1, research on bubonic plague, cholera, anthrax, typhoid, and tuberculosis using live human subjects. For this purpose, a prison was constructed to contain around 300 to 400 people. Tuberculosis, too. That's such a slow... Awful. It's a slow, slow death.
Oh, yeah.
Division 2, research for biological weapons used in the field, in particular the production of devices used to spread germ and parasites. Division 3, production of cells... of shells containing biological agents. Shells. Division 4, bacteria mass production and storage. Division 5, training of personnel. Division 6 through to 8, equipment, medical, and administrative units.
Look how they lumped all those
yeah.
together.
Okay, I'll just look at the facilities, because this is kind of interesting.
Mm.
In Unit 731 was covered 6 square kilometres and consisted of more than 150 buildings. The design of the facilities made them hard to destroy by bombing.
Mm.
The complex contained various factories. It had around 4,500 containers used to raise fleas, 6 cauldrons to produce various chemicals, and around 1,800 containers to produce biological agents. Approximately 30 kilograms of bubonic plague bacteria could be produced in a few days.
Wow.
What the fuck?
That's crazy.
Some of Unit 731 satellite facilities are in use by various Chinese industrial concerns. A portion has been preserved and is open to visitors as a war crimes museum. In Tokyo, a medical...
Wait, where's the war crimes museum?
In China. Because that's where the place was.
I know. Interesting.
A medical school and research facility belonging to Unit 731 operated in the Shinjuku region of Tokyo during World War II. In 2006, Toyo Ishii, a nurse who worked at the school during the war, realized that she had helped bury bodies and pieces of bodies on the school grounds shortly after Japan's surrender in 1945. In response, in February 2011, the Ministry of Health began to excavate the site.
Jesus.
China requested DNA samples from any human remains discovered at the site. The Japanese government, which has never officially acknowledged the atrocities committed in by Unit 731, rejected the request. The related unit 8640 was operated. This is called operated on the Japanese Southern China Area Army stationed in Guangzhou. This installation conducted human experimentation in food and water deprivation, as well as waterborne typhus. According to the post-war testimony, this facility served as the main rat breeding farm for the medical units to provide them with bubonic plague vectors for experiments.
Wow.
So there's a whole section on surrender and immunity, which basically says like how they destroyed the evidence and how the Americans said, we'll take all your data and not convict you.
Yeah.
And same with the Soviets, did the same thing. Yeah. It's funnily enough, is the Soviets took more people than the Americans did.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically the Americans and the Soviets saying, we won't convict you if we can use your evidence and use your data.
Yeah, of course.
And then we'll take you and your expertise and use it in the Cold War, which is essentially what they did. And that's a similar sort of thing about how they talk about Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
And what's his name? Fuck, Einstein.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the people will go, oh, Einstein's theories and stuff were used to create bombs and stuff like that. It's like, well, they were brought to America to avoid the Germans.
Mm.
Like, and they were scientists.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
It's all shit, really.
It's all shit. And as well, like, Einstein's theories were never said, this is how you made a bomb. It was like, this is my theory of relativity and all this other stuff. It's like, they just used his data, like they would use any scientist's data for their own ends.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is everyone goes, oh, scientists make these discoveries to hurt people. It's like, no, the government's used the discoveries to hurt people.
Exactly.
It's not...
And they use the scientists too.
Yeah.
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 Mm.
Anyway.
Well, I need to go to the toilet.
That was a dark, dark article.
Yeah, I guess I might find it dark. I know, it's very interesting. Thank you.
Yeah, that's okay.
I've been meaning to read that one.
Sorry, I took it from you.
No, I mean, I probably would have read it my own time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah.
And very, kind of disturbing to just be like, have you thought of doing those things?
Yeah, like... I think everyone has morbid thoughts.
Of course, but I guess, like you're saying, like, don't give the scientist their money and freedom to...
Yeah.
Here's the people, here's the money, do as you please.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Like,
but hopefully, I'm hoping...
What did you think was going to happen when you told a scientist that?
Oh, they're going to do good things.
Oh, yeah, totally. No, they're probably thinking, oh, what they're going to do is going to help us in the war, which I'm sure some of it did.
And, yeah.
But...
Cure cancer or something, but, yeah, very, very interesting. We shall leave it there.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Frank.
That's okay.
Hmm.
I apologize for how dark it was.
Don't apologize. This is what the show is called.
I know, but it's dark in creepy. But when I read this sort of, this is the kind of
you feel guilty.
This is this is the kind of stuff when I read this sort of stuff that's this dark, makes me one, really sad for humanity, and two, kind of morbidly fascinated.
Well, of course, and that's why I think a lot of our listeners are probably coming to to listen to our show because out of morbid fascination. That's
and
what we,
three
that's
kind of
what
guilt, and three kind of guilty for getting enjoyment out of it. You know what I mean? Out of reading it, out of finding out this information.
Enjoyment?
Fascination probably not is a better word.
Yeah.
But you feel guilty for it. It's almost like voyeurism.
Well, I guess so, but yeah, I guess all that information that is available to us on Wikipedia and the like is kind of voyeuristic.
Yeah, and I suppose it's available to us for a reason.
Exactly. And hopefully people learn from this and, you know, don't do as scientists have done in the past.
And I suppose that's the beauty of the internet.
Exactly.
Too, is that you can find out this information, then, I don't know, realise that humans are shit, and also kind of realise that humans are also amazing in some ways.
There is the capacity to be amazing or completely be shit.
Yeah.
And that's my wise words for this one. The capacity to be amazing or completely shit.
Well, we'll leave it there.
Yes.
Okay, thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
Become a patron.
Please.
Please. And please. And
I'm still, I think we're still running at a loss, technically.
Yeah.
But, oh, well,
whatever.
We're doing it for our hobby and enjoyment. But, yeah, if you'd like to, that'd be awesome. And our current patrons, if I haven't seen you already, to give you a sticker. Oh, you a sticker.
Yeah.
Of our logo.
And what was I going to say? A Sharon.
Love you, Sharon.
We love you, Sharon. Be a Sharon and leave us a comment.
Or a review.
Or a review.
Maybe not a one star. That's a bit harsh.
Yeah, that was a bit harsh, Karen.
Sharon. It might have been Karen.
I don't know. Leave us a review. Or a like or a star or something.
Yeah,
we want
to
know that
you
exist.
Wherever you listen to us from.
Because right now it feels like we're just talking into the ether.
Possibly.
Or we're talking to Sharon and no one else.
Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
You may be Callie Lane in disguise, in jail. Poor Callie Lane.
All
right.
Okay.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you. We'll talk to you later.
That's not what you say.
What do I normally say? Bye. What do I say?
See you next time.
See you next time.